This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, the Caps are wrapping up, or have they wrapped up? I think they have wrapped up, right? They're coming back home. They're coming back home from Western Canada. And we got to give them this. They are at least consistent with their games and their injuries and their general amount of worry that they give us all. Joining me as always, talk all about it, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm feeling good. I'm very happy to be back in my home studio after the last two shows I've done on the road, because I don't feel like I am popping peas anymore since I do have the pop filter with me. I did not pack one when I was on the road before, so apologies to everyone who's had to listen to me pop my peas. But hey, I'm back in the studio. I got the filter. We're good. And Caps are consistent. Went out to Western Canada and got a whole bunch of ones. They didn't win that often, but a whole bunch of ones.
It's a very nice, symmetrical, balanced road trip. At least that part of the road trip. They do have one more game on the road, but it is significantly closer to home than they have been over the last little bit. But 1-1-1, got that overtime loss in Seattle. A pretty bad loss to Calgary, and then a nice win versus Edmonton after forgetting that Connor McDavid is a very, very good hockey player. not as good as our McMichael, but, you know, it'll be okay. But, it's, you know, with this team, it seems to be one step forward, two steps back, as we've lost more players to freaking injuries. And I think the Caps have lost something like 9 dudes have been on IR, not IR, but have been injured at one point this season. They've lost something like 150 something man games, 2 injuries, which is an absurd number at this point in the season. I mean, now we've got to put Martin Fivari's been on, put on IR. He, as of Monday, was seen in a sling.
Not a good sign.
He's at least missing, I think it's Edmonton, Philly, and Seattle on Friday. And then we'll kind of, I'm guessing they'll see where he's at before. Interestingly enough, they go back to freaking Canada. And then Darcy Kuemper got hurt. And I'm a little confused as to what he got hurt. Like, they were saying, oh, it was concussion protocol. He did take an elbow to the head. But then, I believe after the game, he said that, like, oh, no, I felt a little off something. So I asked to be pulled out of the game. And that's a little worrying, considering he's done really well for the team this season. I like what the consistency that he's provided, and something they didn't have last season. And the fact that they didn't put him on IR, I think, is promising that, you know what, they were just being overly cautious. They put Fivari on IR to free up a roster spot, to bring up goaltender Hunter Shepard from Hershey, to give him a nice little opportunity to join the team. You know, he's probably not going to play. I would imagine if Kemper's not good to go, he could at least back up, or Shepard will have a chance to back up against Philly on Wednesday. That would be kind of mean to put him in his like first NHL game in Philadelphia of all places.
Yeah.
But it sounds like Kuemper isn't going to be out long-term, but again, another injury, another guy on IR. Every time they get someone back, it seems like 2 more guys go down or 3 more guys go down. And pretty soon there's not going to have enough people to be on the team.
Yeah. I mean, well, first off, take this big long road trip, and then like before you could head home, have to go to Philadelphia first. Like, you're so close. You're so close. Just let them go home and not have to go to Philly. But okay, they're finishing that up. If you remember correctly, when you and I were on the Locked On Capitals podcast, you guys can go check that out on YouTube if you'd like. It was 2 weeks ago. A great show that we really enjoyed being a part of. They just had a new episode.
It was a lot of fun.
They had a new episode come out. I think we're recording this on Tuesday. They had a new show come out today as well. But the host of Locked On Capitals podcast, they actually were bringing up the fact that Darcy Kuemper is hurt a lot, and he has a history of missing a lot of games. I think he said in his career he's missed 75 games or something like that. So it does worry me that Darcy Kuemper is at least like missing a couple games here so early on in his Capitals career. So it is worrisome to see that. I hope he's okay. But it's also very interesting that he pulled himself out. So it definitely was not something that someone spotted. It was something that he felt. So maybe they're still kind of running some tests to make sure he's okay. Maybe they can't pinpoint exactly what's wrong. But like you said, it looked like he took an elbow to the head, and if he pulled himself out, maybe he felt something. Or I've never had a concussion, but I've heard that, you know, you get like the taste of like copper sometimes in your mouth. Like it feels like you've got a mouthful of pennies or something like that. So maybe he felt something there as well. I don't know. But it does worry me that Darcy Kuemper is out for a couple games. He pulled himself out, but he does have a history of injuries, which is very worrisome.
Oh yeah. I mean, anytime you have a player that's got a history of injuries, especially as they get older, it's more and more concerning in terms of how well they're going to be able to play and how often they'll be able to play. And then during that game specifically, I thought I saw that, like, and maybe this is just speculation on the part of beat reporters, but that like the concussion spotter in the rink saw that he took the elbow to the head. It was like, no, he needs to get pulled out and like at least checked out before he can come back in. And given the World Cup's going on right now, this isn't like soccer or European football where once you're out, you can't go back in. Like he could have come out and checked out and they're like, oh, he's fine. Okay. Put him back on the, you know, back on the rink. So hopefully it's just a minor thing. Maybe, you know, it could be something that he tweaked that has nothing to do with his head, that he just like, you know, extended for a save or something. It was like, ooh, that feels a little funky. Let me let them know what's going on. So make sure, you know, it doesn't get any worse. And I think at this point in the season, it's not the end of the world. And the nice thing about this is that you have a viable backup in Charlie Lindgren who can come in and play well. And so there isn't this thing where they're like, well, let's see what happens and see who's going to go in net. And now it's a matter of, okay, well, we got this other guy. He's doing really well for us. I thought he played, you know, well against Edmonton. And so, you know, I'm not like freaking out. Now, if it's a thing where they come out and they're like, all right, well, Kemper's going to be out for 4 months. I'm like, ooh. Okay, a little concerned now. Might want to look at the trade market. I mean, I know that I just probably blanked on his name. Brian McClellan came out and was talking about a number of things. He was it Monday that he came out and was talking about stuff? But he was talking about how, or maybe it was over the weekend. I think it was Saturday or Sunday. I don't know. Talking about how this team's not looking at making trades because they don't have the cap space. And so I'm like, okay, first of all, that's your fault. You're the one that you're the general manager. You made all those trades. That's irrelevant. Secondly, yes, I get it. You have all the injuries and you have to like fill in those spots. When Wilson comes back, he's got a, you know, where's my cap friendly thing? Wilson's at 5.1 and change. And then if you actually get Backstrom back, he's sitting there at $1 billion, 9.2. So like, yes, you have to find the cap space to be able to bring those guys. I don't know how they're going to pull that, although I don't know how much they have right now. Like, they could have a ton of space right now, but it's because you're, like, saving it for those dudes. So this team certainly has some interesting salary cap problems to deal with when those guys come back. But that's a situation that you kind of got yourself into, and you're the one that made all these big money signings at one point, knowing there was going to be an issue. But then also, trades can help to ease up cap space depending on what the trade is, right? So do you move out a guy that's making a fair amount that maybe isn't producing to the comparative to what he's making? And that might free up some cap space. You find a team that might be interested in a player that has the cap flexibility to take on their contract, and then you take something back, be it picks, prospects, or an NHL player that doesn't have as high a cap hit. You know, that's a possibility. But again, you have to have the other team agreeing to do that. So I don't necessarily buy that argument considering it's the problem that he made. But then that was the biggest thing I heard from, I felt like I took away from the McClellan conversation. So it doesn't seem like this team's going to be making any trades. But I also feel like he's not one to necessarily come out and say, yeah, we're looking to make a trade and this guy sucks. Like, he doesn't come out and just throw people under the bus necessarily. He did say the way they're going to kind of pull themselves out of this slump they've been in the season, that their star players need to be star players. And well, yeah, that's true. But the role players also need to help out. And when you're looking at a guy like Anthony Mantha or Lars Eller, they're not helping out quite as much as they probably should. So those are two guys that need to step up, or maybe them become trade bait.
Yeah, I mean, Lars Eller has definitely been a little bit under the microscope for the last season and a half. So I could definitely see him as potential trade bait. But, I mean, he does mean so much to this organization, having such a big part of that 2018
run. Greatest
goal
in Capitals history.
Exactly.
But I do feel like the team as constructed right now, it's just not working.
Yeah, but this isn't the team that was built was not the team that is supposed to be the one you're going far with. This isn't the team that anyone was envisioning. I don't think anybody on the staff was envisioning. I don't think any of the fans were envisioning.
Are you talking about in terms of players, or are you talking about in terms of suckage?
Players, but a lot of these players are not the ones you expect to win with, if we're being honest.
I mean, like, on paper, they should be better. And it's weird because, like, I'm looking at their stats doing, like, Dylan Strome has got 20 points in 27 games. That's pretty good. Ovechkin's got 25 and 27. You'd like to think he's a point-per-game player. But they've also had so many changes in the lineup. But, like, yes, the injuries have caused problems, but other teams have had injuries. It's not slowing them down. And they're lucky. People keep talking about how, oh, well, they just have to, you know, like, stay in the hunt at this point. And I'm like, the only reason you stayed in the hunt because every other team in the East has been crap except for the Devils. And they've just, it's luck more than talent or skill right now that they have a chance to make the playoffs. And the fact that McClellan will come out and go, well, we're not going to make a trade. Well, Brandon, what's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Well, Brian McClellan's insane, it would appear. Or he's lying to all of us he's going to make a trade, which I will be happy with. I mean, at this point, as fans, we grow attached to players, right? Being an Ovechkin or Lars Eller because he scored, you know, the greatest goal in Caps history, or John Carlson or Orlov, maybe not you with Orlov, or Martin Pivari, or any of these guys, right? Like, we develop attachments to them, and the more, not invested in the team, but the more, like, you're going down that rabbit hole of learning about teams or a team, the more you learn about the players, you become more invested as they are as human beings. And I understand that aspect of it. But the reality is, if this team's not working, something has to change. If the goal is to win something or try to win the cup, if the goal is to just play hockey and get Ovechkin as close as they can to Gretzky, then fine. Like, they're not going to come out and admit that because people are going to be like, well, actually, I probably still would pay for tickets because they want to see him pull this off. But the what their goal for this season is just not enough to make it worthwhile for a lot of these players. So if their goal is to win, something has to change. And it was really disappointing over the weekend to hear, if it's the truth, that they're not interested in changing.
Yeah, I think you brought it up when we were talking about Laviolette. He's gone further than I thought. I thought Black Friday was going to be his last game. He's gone further than he has. You've brought it up before, and I'm starting to agree with you here. I think we're in a wait and see approach. I don't think they want to spend any money. I don't think they want to mess with anything, because I think everyone, including the front office, knows this is not a team that's going to go far. It's not going to potentially make the playoffs, and there's no way to fix it because you're kind of under the eight ball with money. And you're in a wait-and-see approach. When's Wilson coming back? Will Hagelin be back? Will Backstrom be back? What is the plan going forward? I think the plan right now is to sit tight, kind of sit on your hands, and just try to grit your teeth and hope to get through this season without any more injuries. I mean, they did bring in Darcy Kemper for a lot of money in a lot of years, and I don't think, you know, they want to go spend money on an extra goaltender if he gets hurt or something like that. So I think it is really a wait-and-see approach. Let's see what's going to happen next, and let's hope for the best.
Well, I don't think they would necessarily, unless it came out that Kemper was out for the rest of the season or out for a large portion of the season, would they go out to acquire a goalie?
And I don't think he's going to be out long, because I think that's why they up Hunter. I think that's why you didn't keep like Zach Fucale up as a backup, because you know it's not going to be a long-term thing.
I also think it was a little bit of a reward for him. And we'll talk about that when we go down on the farm in terms of how he's been doing lately. You know, hey, you've done really well. Let's give you a reward. We'll let you fly on the cool plane and get your own Caps jersey and get a really nice seat. Just don't get it with the puck for on the bench. And, like, you know, it was a nice thing for him. I agree with you. I think the fact that, like, they haven't panicked, they didn't bring up Vukali because he might play, they brought Shepherd up, is a little different, you know. But I just feel like you've got to anticipate injuries at this point in all professional sports. And so you have to anticipate that you're going to have to replace guys at one point or another during the season And they didn't prepare for that. We've seen that with some of these guys that have come up that just aren't, it's just not working out. And whether it's that they're not good enough or it's the coaching, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the style of play, it's just not, it's not working. And the fact that we're just going to keep banging our heads against the wall and seeing if it eventually works, it's just stupid to me. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand how that's a good idea.
It's where we are right now. That's all I can say. I don't know how it's a good idea either, but
he could be lying. I remember the George McPhee era where he would come out and just be like, they'd be like, yeah, Caps aren't doing well. And he'd be like, yeah. And that would be his whole response, basically. He'd be like, well, that didn't help. And then McClellan was kind of a nice change of pace where he would come out and be like, yeah, we got to suck. And we need to be better. And you're like, oh, all right. All right. He's a little bit more talkative. He likes to tell us stuff. As fans, it's nice to hear. But he's never really been like that outwardly. At least I don't feel like he's ever been like that forthcoming in terms of information. He's like, yeah, we're going to go try and sign this person and this person. He might come out and say, yeah, we're looking to acquire a defenseman. We're looking to do this. We're looking to do that. He does say when they're looking to make moves, but he doesn't necessarily give a ton away, which makes sense. You don't want other teams to know, oh, they really are desperate for a, you know, a top six winger. We're going to up our asking for what we want, get the most out of any potential trade. So I don't think any one of us saw the Jakub Vrána for Anthony Mantha trade coming. We didn't see the signing of Darcy Kuemper we kind of saw because like he had nowhere else to go. Like it basically was the Caps or I don't know where else he would have signed. So I still think a trade could happen. I think it would likely involve someone who makes a fair amount of money. I think when Tom Wilson comes back and if Backstrom comes back, they're going to have to move somebody because I feel like the team has to keep a roster spot for Sonny Milano. I mean, he's got 9 points in 15 games. Are you really going to send him down or put him up in the press box when he's producing pretty decently for you? Yeah, do you put Abe Kubel back on waivers? Like, I don't know exactly what their plan is, but that also isn't going to free up enough money. You're going to have to move out somebody that costs a lot. I haven't really looked at the numbers fully. I'm a little fuzzy on the details regarding the LTIR because it's not like their cap goes away. You're still allowed to go that much over. But then I'm on Cap Friendly, and I'm trying to see how much they – 3 million. So that's not enough. They got to do something. They're going to have to move somebody out. And I know a couple of guys are probably going to have to go down just in terms of you can only have 23 dudes on the roster. So it'll be interesting to see if they ever get everybody back. But who knows if they will ever get everybody back.
Yeah. Again, still all up in the air. I think the only one guaranteed – I mean, Dmitry Orlov – obviously, he'll be back on the ice soon.
Yeah, his is weird.
Allegedly, they brought him to Seattle and everything because he was skating with Tom Wilson and Nick Backstrom and some of the other injured players back in D.C., but they were going too slow for him. So they actually said his recovery was going so quickly, they needed him to skate with the regular team. So I would assume he's back by this time next week. But Tom Wilson is still a guess of early January. That's not too far away. So if you are thinking of making a trade or letting someone go or putting someone on waivers, that's going to come soon. Like that wait and see approach, like I've been talking about and you've brought up in the past and everything, the wait and see approach, you're going to be waiting not that much longer with names like Tom Wilson coming back.
I mean, yeah, they have to do something. They have to make some moves. The wait and see thing I think was fine earlier on, but now you can't really do that anymore. And you can't trust that some of these guys are going to be healthy later in the season. You know, they have players on this roster that are injury prone at this point. And when you go into the playoffs, we saw how much that can hurt your possibilities or potential at making a long run, if not making it all the way, by losing players. You know, when they won in 2018, they had all their big guys. They had all their, right? Am I misremembering? They had all their star players going. I mean, yeah, they had like injuries here and there, and Backstrom's thumb was like falling off or something. He couldn't hold the cup really up by himself. But like, they still had enough guys that they could make it work. You know, can they anticipate that being the case? Based on the evidence of the season right now, no.
Speaking of injury prone, how worried were you when TJ Oshie dropped the mitts in Seattle? Like, he did that, and I'm like, dude, you are not the fighter. I know this is your like your home state and everything, but dude, keep the gloves on. Don't do that.
No, thank you. Stop it. Yeah, treat him like I do my 3-year-old. No, thank you. Go sit down. No hitting. Don't hit your sister. No, he being Oshii, not my son. The thing about TJ Oshii is that he's like nuts in a good way. He just brings so much energy and fun and silliness and like team camaraderie together. But then sometimes you're like, calm down. Let's not get hurt. You know, you're made out of, at this point, paper mache and tape. Like, you know, there's a lot of, as a Caps fan, I have concern about him being able to last through the season. We've already had him out for a while, and unfortunately, just his body can't necessarily, it would appear based on evidence, that his body can't withstand a full NHL season without getting hurt. So, you know, what comes next, what can he avoid so that he doesn't take another injury? And you know what? Getting punched in the head, probably an avoidable thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true.
So, like, props for him. I know he was back in his home area and wanted to play well, and I'm sure adrenaline and energy and all that stuff was running through his body, but, like, no thank you.
So, anything else we should cover here in Caps world?
A little bit of news. Let's see. Ovechkin played in his 1,300th career regular season game this past Saturday. He's now the 14th player in NHL history to play that many games with one franchise. So that's pretty cool. And we have some retirement news to talk about as former Capital defenseman Milan Urcina. He announced his retirement recently. Played in DC for 4 seasons. He actually played the last 4 years in the Czech Republic. So congratulations on a well-earned career, Milan Urcina.
Yeah, congratulations. Happy retirement. So that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Let's actually talk about some hockey and not just about injuries. How about that? Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
I just want to apologize to everybody up in Hershey now that Brandon has just jinxed them by saying that. Let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 1-1 with a win over Lehigh Valley. They're currently second in the Atlantic Division with 30 points, 3 back of first-place Providence. They're back at it tonight, that being Tuesday, hosting Charlotte at the Giant Center. They then have back-to-back-to-back games over the weekend starting on Friday in Bridgeport before hosting Cleveland on both Saturday and Sunday. In other Bears news, Hunter Shepard was named the AHL Goalie of the Month for November after he posted a perfect 6-0 record, a 1.63 goals against average, and a .936 save percentage. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 3-0 with 2 wins over Savannah and a win over Jacksonville. They're currently second in the South Division with 24 points, 1 point back of first place Florida. Now they'll be back at it on Friday before hosting Greenville at the North Charleston Coliseum. Then they head to Greenville on Saturday. In other Stingrays news, Capitals goalie prospect Clay Stevenson earned his first shutout of his career, stopping all 25 shots that he faced as the Stingrays beat Savannah by that final score of 3-0 on Saturday. Stevenson was also named the ECHL Goalie of the Week. So goalies in Caps farm system doing pretty well.
Who needs Darcy Kemper?
Yeah, get him out of here. Speaking of that Saturday night game, Stingrays hosted their teddy bear toss, and the teddy bears rained down upon them after Alex Fortin scored his 4th goal of the season. Brandon, I have a question for you. Teddy bear toss is like a night thing, right? Like they announce in advance, all the fans come, correct?
Correct.
What if nobody on the team that's hosting the game scores?
At the end of the game, they all just get thrown on. The Hershey Bears have had to do that once or twice.
That is so depressing.
It is, yeah.
I feel like you're like, yay.
You're throwing the teddy bears at this point at the players. You're just targeting them.
What? Didn't you score? In Caps prospect news, 2022 first-round pick Ivan Miroslavchenko made his first start with the KHL's Avangard this past weekend. Ivan skated on the fourth line in Salt. Did you see how I avoided his last name that time?
Nice, nice.
Professional,
I like it.
Right there. He saw less than 5 minutes of ice in his first game. He did record 2 hits. He then got moved to the fourth line against Salavat. Is it UFA or UEFA?
Ufa.
I don't know. Ufa.
Ufa. Oh,
that's fun. That would be his second game in the KHL. He skated 9 minutes, 13 seconds, had 2 shots on goal and 3 hits. Shout out to @John_M_Sorensen on Twitter for keeping up with Caps prospects. 2022 second round pick defenseman Ryan Chesley has been invited to participate in Team USA selection camp for the 2023 tournament. Now, if he were to make the team, he'd be the first Caps prospect to represent the U.S. at the U-20 championship level since Riley Barber, Connor Carrick, and our boy Thomas DePauly.
Oh, there
did
you go.
Back in 2014. We haven't done the DePauly bit in a while.
Oh, man, DePauly. Cup of coffee with DePauly.
Get coffee, get some DePauly, get some coffee. Terrible accent. That's what's going on down at the farm.
Ah, man, I wonder what's going on with that guy.
Did we look him up?
Did we look him up? I think he's like a fisherman now. I feel like we looked him up last time his name came up.
You might be right. I think you're right. He was born in Italy. That's kind of cool. He was with the Penguins. Did he actually play in Pittsburgh? Hold on. Yeah, he got... Wikipedia, get your advertisement out of the movie. Wait. Played 2 games, got 10 penalty minutes.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, good for him. He got a little cup of coffee, potentially literally, in the NHL. I think you're right. I think he's like a fisherman or something now.
DePauly!
Yeah. Good old Thomas DePauly.
He got sick of the frozen water, so he was like, I'm just going to get a boat and actually start fishing on the water. Doesn't have to be frozen anymore.
There you go. Yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
Well, lots of stuff going down on the farm. Let's just do a whole show about down on the farm because the Caps, they're just depressing at this point.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right, well, go Bears, go Stingrays, go – I don't want to say go KHL – because we don't like Russia. Go Team USA. Way to go. You guys rule. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. I think the majority of the and beyond, emphasis on the beyond. Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Yeah, there's like no NHL news. Like, I think this is the longest the league has gone in a long time where someone has not been fined or suspended, or the spot that I use for news just hasn't been updated. I'm not sure which it is, but we move on. There is a little bit of news in the and beyond section as the U.S. national sled team defeated Hockey Canada. Suck it, Ryan. In the Para Hockey Cup. Anytime to make a joke at Ryan's expense. In the Para Hockey Cup by a score of 5-1. It was the 7th straight Para Hockey Cup championship for Team USA. And last little bit of news, as the U.S. and Team Canada announced their preliminary rosters for the upcoming World Juniors. Now, as you mentioned earlier, Caps prospect Ryan Chesley has made the preliminary roster, or the selection camp, which is currently at 32 players, if I did my math correctly. So someone probably want to check that for me. They have to be down to 23 after their last exhibition game on December 21st, which is against Sweden. Now, their training camp before the tournament is scheduled for December 12th. To the 17th. Fun fact, Brandon?
Yes.
The current roster consists of players from 15 different states. A little fun fact for everybody.
Is Maryland or Virginia any of those states? I don't think so.
I don't know because they only said like the first few.
Yeah, I figured.
Like it was like Michigan had five. It was a lot of the northern states had a bunch.
All the normals.
But I don't feel like I've heard of anybody from this area, but we could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't think there is anybody, but would be nice with the Ovi effect. You think that we would get a couple playing for the U.S. team in Virginia or in Maryland? Now, here's a question: in like 15 years, could we have an Ovechkin on the U.S. team since his kids were born in the U.S.?
No, because I think he's going back to Russia once his career is over.
but his kids will be U.S. citizens.
Yeah, but if they grow up there, they're probably going to play for the Russian team. I mean, like, that would be cool. I just don't see that happening.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, could we potentially have an Ovechkin on Team USA? It would be weird, but be great for us.
Like, I feel like a dude who, like, is it Artemi Panarin who's come out against, like, Putin and Russia and everything, and he's like, you know, F that guy and all sorts of stuff. Like, I feel like that sort of situation, you could see a someone represent, especially if they grow up in this country.
Right.
I feel like you see that a lot in European football, where, like, guys will grow, you know, they'll be born in one place, but then they grow up somewhere else, and their parents might be from one country, but they identify with another country, and, like, that's how that tends to work out. So, I mean, it could happen. I feel like Ovechkin earlier in his career, and maybe it's changed now, but earlier in his career, he said that once his career is over, he's going to be going back and living in Russia full time. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen? That, of course, could change.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, could be fun, but like you said, I doubt it would happen.
Oh, it'd be great, but who knows? Yeah. That's the news for the past week in the NHL and beyond.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, or you can check me out on Hive at Brando Cash. There's nobody on there, so I don't expect you to talk to me on there. But Coach Dan, where can people chat with you on Twitter or Hive?
I forgot. You mentioned Hive last week. I'd forgotten I also joined that thing.
Yeah.
Just like people are doing, I wonder if they're doing it just to like get their names. But I feel like until Twitter completely implodes and is gone, like people aren't going to be joining other social networks as much, aside from the already popular, like, you know, Facebook or Instagram, like, or TikTok or whatever, like those ones.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but Governor Hogan, the governor of Maryland, has outlawed TikTok for government employees because of security concerns.
Yes, I don't have a TikTok account because I'm an adult.
Yes, no, I don't have one because I'm 37, that's why.
So I'm not interested. You know, other people certainly do well in there. So either way, you can find me on Twitter and I guess on Hive at, you know what? My Hive name might be different. I don't know what it is, but on Twitter, you can find me at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things. Also talking about Arsenal Football Club, talking about the World Cup. Brandon, I know you're not interested in soccer, but there was an insane PK shootout today between Spain and Morocco. Spain.
Was it 1-0?
The dude made 3 penalty kick saves in a row.
Just ignored me.
Yeah, I did, because you're a jerk. Really big net. Really hard. I mean, it amazing. It was. I'm watching it. I saw someone had texted me. I got a ESPN alert that they were going to PKs or something like that, and I was like, oh. So like, I took a few minutes out of the work day to watch it. Anybody listening from work, don't worry about it. I got other stuff done. And it was insane. But either way, talking about the World Cup, talking about the Bills, the Commanders, and all the other crazy stuff going on in the wide world of sports, you can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed this show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, occasionally the Hershey Cubs. Sounds like their owner might be coming back to Hershey sometime soon if things don't start to improve in Vancouver. And all sorts of other things in the wide world of hockey in the NHL. Facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if someone happens to be a fan of a certain purple-clad team based out of Baltimore that currently might need a quarterback, is there a podcast they should listen to?
That's right. You can check out my Ravens podcast called The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we're going to be talking probably about the draft a lot sooner than we thought we would be. Because this is not how this season was supposed to go. Ouch. Lamar down. We're going to talk all about it, me and my buddy Josh, this week. So make sure you tune in and check us out over on The Call. You can listen to it wherever you listen to this podcast. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Discord and Hive, where it's at Coach Dan, no WTP, just at Coach Dan.
Well, I looked it up. I got it in there first.
I got to check it out because I have two followers. Some random bot and Coach Dan on Hive. So just letting you know. But hey, that is pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. Move my microphone over so it's pointed at my face. On Wednesday, December 7th, the Capitals visit Philadelphia up against the Flyers. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports or locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Friday, December 9th, the Capitals welcome home, welcome back, up against Seattle, up against the Kraken. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on NBC Sports Washington Plus. And then the Caps travel back to the Peg, going back to Canada, up against the Jets in Winnipeg on Sunday, December 11th. And you can watch that one locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then we'll be back doing a new show next week for you to talk all about those games. Will Darcy Kuemper be back? We sure hope so. Will we see the first glimpse of Tom Wilson? Probably not, but maybe. Who knows? We'll see. But that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.